Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of Scottish Premiership action. Celtic welcome Dundee United and looking to go 16 points clear at the top. What will the atmosphere be like after Brendan Rodgers' recent comments? Kilmarnock and Motherwell lock horns down in Ayrshire, and Rangers take their poor away record to Dundee tomorrow. Philippe Clement looks ahead to that one, gives injury updates and speaks about the club's January transfer plans. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, for those watching on the live stream, it should be Cammy Bell and Jim Duffy. It is currently an empty seat and Jim Duffy, but Cammy comes from the furthest distance by a mile of all our pundits. They're chaos on the roads. We will cut him some slack. I'm thinking he'll be here within the next minute. So anyway, Jim Duffy, just you and I, and a big night to look forward to.
Yeah, well, as I said, it's, I can't believe I'm getting a dizzy if you can me, but there you go. Yeah, I mean, the important thing tonight, I think, if you're a Celtic fan, is getting behind the team. You know, Brendan made his comments regarding the Kieran Tierney and Greg Taylor. It's been very well discussed. But the most important thing is that Celtic extend their lead at the top of the league tonight. And to do that, they need the fans getting behind them. Another good performance at home, and Dundee United posed some real problems up at Tandice a few weeks ago, but Brendan said himself that at-home advantage, better conditions, you know, a stronger squad, he fully expects his team to take all 3 points.
Come on then, 0141951105. What have you got for us? What is on your mind? Give us a shout and let us know. Are you heading along to Celtic Park tonight? That would be first and foremost. If so, you know the drill on these midweek games. We love to check in with you if you're on your way. What are you thinking? The result, obviously, hugely important. Celtic fans, the chance to go 16 points clear and put the pressure further on Rangers when they go to Dundee tomorrow. So give us your thoughts on that and team selection, all those traditional pre-match questions that we ask. And how could we not, after the night we've had on this phone-in on Monday and Tuesday, ask you what you're expecting from the atmosphere, Celtic fans? Because we have heard all sorts on this phone-in on the last two nights. Some people agree with Brendan Rodgers that the fans need to be more trusting and more patient. Some people disagree and say we pay our money and we need to be entertained to a suitable level. Then you've got the Greg Taylor incident, the singing of Kieran Tierney's name. Is it in any way disrespectful to Greg Taylor? And what happens tonight then? Does he play? Because if he does, it's his 200th appearance. So does he play? Did the fans give him a particularly warm reception to show there was no harm meant? Did the fans double down and sing Kieran Tierney's name even louder? What are you expecting when you get along to Celtic Park tonight? Rangers fans, so much been said about your away form, and you're going to have to go through it again because tomorrow, Dundee away, Philippe Clement spoken today. He doesn't quite see it, that the away form overall as a package, that there's something wrong with it. He thinks the games need to be taken on their own individual merits. Would you agree with that? He gave a brief insight into maybe some of the January transfer stuff, although it says Patrick Stewart will update things a bit further. So what have you made of the early stages of that, and what would you like to see done? Doesn't look like the defensive injuries are getting better anytime soon. Certainly Liam Kelly will keep playing. There's still no Tavernier, still no Balogun, still no Suter. So give us all your thoughts there. Who should captain the team tomorrow in the absence of Nicholas Raskin, who's suspended, and James Tavernier? Who should captain Rangers tomorrow? Who wears the armband? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. And Motherwell, Kilmarnock, both of them in that part of the league. So unpredictable. Both win games, lose games. You never quite know what you're going to get. So what will we get tonight at Rugby Park? Phone us right now, please, on 0141 951 1025. And Cammy Bell has made it.
I've made it.
Just in at the back post.
A few minutes late.
That's
but
all right. That's listen, forgivable.
I feel as if I've done all right because I certainly got stuck, you know, that crash on the M74. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of in behind it. And then, you know, when they shut the road and that's you, you're done. Thankfully made
detour? It. Where did you go?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't get off. I had to wait until it got cleared. Aye. So it was one of them ones that normally if you catch it early enough, you can get a wee detour, get off. But nah, see when you're stuck in behind that shoe.
I love to ridicule Marvin Bartley when he's late and anyone else, but this guy comes from miles away. Yeah,
I'll tell
here.
You, I was in the car longer than I'll be on this show the night.
Seriously? So
that's how bad it was the night.
Oh, dear. Listen, be nice to Cammy if you phone in, will you? 01419511025. Big night though, isn't it? All round,
yeah,
and then more to come tomorrow.
You mentioned there, you know, a lot of the games and even the other games, Kilmarnock, Motherwell, you know what I mean? So important because these type of teams have got aspirations to be in the top six, some maybe beyond that. You said there about, you know, type of reaction while Celtic fans give Greg Taylor, you feel like expect him to play, and, you know, the response towards Brendan Rodgers. But I just don't see any way the Celtic fans will not get behind the team. All of the team, including Greg tonight. I mean, it's his 200th game. I mean, that is fantastic. And, you know, the amount of trophies he's won, his level of consistency. Every manager that's come in has picked him as a first choice. So, you know, yeah, there's always been one or two doubters, but every manager has seen the qualities that this boy possesses. Each style has been tweaked a little bit, the inverted fullbacks, the overlapping fullbacks, and he's managed to fit all of those. You know, the decisions that managers have made for him and come out of it admirably. So yeah, it will be an interesting time tonight just to see how the reaction is, but I fully expect the Celtic fans to get 100% behind them.
Come on then, 01419511025. Celtic Park, the obvious place to start because the game is there tonight. So are you heading along? What about the football match? Because we've not spoke that much about the actual football in recent nights, in terms of who should play and who shouldn't play and how important you think it is to try and extend the lead. And then, of course, the elephant in the room, if you want to call it that. What sort of atmosphere are you expecting? Give us your thoughts, because you'll know far more about that than us going there more often than not. So give us a call, please. Let's set the scene with Andrew McLean, who is there already on a freezing cold night in the east end of Glasgow.
Yeah, I think it's -2 at the moment, and it could get as low as -5 while the game is on. So if you've ever seen that scene in Friends where Joey's wearing all of Chandler's clothes, that's what I look like.
You're wearing right all now. Of Hugh Keevan's clothes at Celtic Park.
Any cardigans you want?
40 cardigans on, yes. Oh, yeah. But in terms of the football, I think most people connected with Celtic will probably be quite happy just to get back to the football tonight after the last couple of days. You guys mentioned it. Brendan Rodgers, of course, calling out supporters for some of the moaning and groaning at the backwards passes in that 3-0 win over St Mirren on Sunday. Also saying it was disrespectful to Greg Taylor that Kieran Tierney's name has been sung about as well. We've heard plenty of opinions over the last couple of nights on the phones, some agreeing completely with Brendan Rodgers, some agreeing on one point but not the other, some completely disagreeing with both as well. So it will be interesting, as you say, to see whether that continues on tonight or not, what the atmosphere is like amongst the Celtic supporters. One thing that maybe did get lost in all of that was Celtic comfortably getting back to winning ways after that Old Firm defeat, stretching the lead to 13 points as they look to march towards the title. They could make that 16 tonight as well before Rangers go to Dundee tomorrow. In terms of team news, James Forrest, the only long-term absentee. Stephen Welsh is finalising that move to Belgium, that loan move that will see him go there until the summer, so of course he's unlikely to be involved. Johnny Kenny, back from a successful loan spell at Shamrock Rovers. I wonder if tonight's the night that he comes back into the squad, maybe saved for the Scottish Cup next week if he is in Brendan Rodgers' plans. And could be a night for Greg, a big night as I say, for Greg Taylor. You guys talked about it, an appearance tonight would be his 200th for the club. Dundee United, the visitors, and of course they held Celtic at Tannadice just before Christmas. 3 wins and a draw since then sees them sit nicely in third place. Only Celtic as well have picked up more points on the road than Dundee United this season. So I'll bring you the team news from both sides as soon as I get it.
Come on then, 01419511025. Josh is a Celtic fan. What are you thinking about tonight, Josh?
You alright, Gordon? How's it going?
Good, thank you, good.
Yeah, so from a psychological point of view, I mean, Celtic can go 16 points clear tonight, I think, if they win. So coming off the back of the Old Firm defeat, switch of psychology, isn't it? So Celtic playing first tonight. But we're under no illusions of how tough it's going to be. Dundee United, for me, are emerging as potential top three challenges. You know, Goodwin's fostered that great team spirit and the culture in his side, flying with belief and confidence. They took points off Celtic when they last played them, so they don't need any motivation to sort of repeat that feat. So, you know, if Celtic play to their best ability, then yeah, sure, they're going to win this game, but we can have no illusions as to how tough Jim and the lads are going to make that prospect.
Yeah, I mean, that, you don't have to go back too far. I suppose there is, as we'll get onto with Rangers, there tends to be a big difference when the game's away from home compared to home, but I suppose that might be the warning to the Celtic players, just knowing what Dundee United are capable of.
Yeah, I think it just shows you the structure and the discipline that Jim Goodman has instructed his team and worked with his team, and they stuck to the game plan. They didn't get too frustrated with Celtic's domination of possession, and I think Jim said that after it. He said he wanted to try and be a little bit more proactive going forward, but ultimately their job was to nullify Celtic, and they managed to do that to a large extent. I think it is much more difficult at Celtic Park. There's no question about that. And again, you know, you mentioned one or two, or Andrew mentioned one or two fans not being overly happy with one or two back passes and things like that. Celtic go out the game after Dundee United and keep the tempo really high. Invariably, they wear teams down, and I think that'll be the case tonight. I think if they play at a real high tempo, the fans get behind them, create a really positive atmosphere, then I think it'll be too much for Dundee United.
Didn't Brendan Rodgers just really, really wants an early goal, Cammy? Even though he's pretty steadfast in his opinion on it all, just could be doing without even a hint of the same question coming up again.
Yeah, listen, an ideal start is getting that early goal, settling everyone down, the crowd are behind them. But as Jim says, I think the crowd will get behind the team. Listen, they're absolutely flying this season, so there's no reason they shouldn't. The frustration probably at the weekend was vented from the Old Firm game and the lack of that they didn't perform in that game. So, yeah, listen, an ideal world, get an early goal. But as Josh says, potentially you could be 16 points clear tonight. And that's a huge gap, a massive gap. And Celtic deserve to be there at this moment in time.
The guys all think, Josh, that Celtic Park will really kind of, almost like the fans come out with a point to prove, if that's such a thing, the way players sometimes do, and will really rally behind the team. Is that something you can see happening?
Oh yeah, 100%. I've also got Cammy, as a former goalkeeper, thoughts on Kasper Schmeichel this season. For me, massively underrated. The job that he's done organising the back four. I mean, we wax lyrical about Kyogo and Kuhn and Adam Eder and McGregor further forward, but that organisation and stability at the back. I mean, I also listened to what you're saying with Julie on the sports team results, and you know, you're always quite measured and quite balanced in what you're saying. So thoughts on that, please?
Yeah, no, mate, listen, Josh, I'm a massive fan of Kasper Schmeichel. I think he's a top goalkeeper. I was a massive fan of Joe Hart as well. I think Kasper's slightly different from Joe. I think he can play with the ball at his feet much better. He's quicker in his release as well. He's very fast at his distribution, which then gets Celtic fast up the park. And they like the way that Brendan Rodgers wants to get Nicholas Kuhn on the ball as fast as he can. Schmeichel's a massive part in that. He comes, as you say, he's commanding. He talks to his defence. And again, even at the weekend, you look at him against St Mirren. He had nothing to do until the last kick of the ball almost. St Mirren get an opportunity. He wants his clean sheet, makes a save. People will just dismiss that because Celtic were 3-0 up at the time. But again, he takes pride in his work, and he's a top, top goalkeeper. I mean, it's one for me that I think Celtic should be trying to keep a hold of for certainly as long as they can.
Thank you, Josh. What about John, who's on the other line? John, what are you expecting tonight then?
Well, hi there, guys. No, actually, my point was really a bit about Brendan and his little outburst. Mm-hmm. I've kind of got a take on it. I just feel perhaps, is it any coincidence that it happened just after he's lost 6 goals to Rangers against half a team? And he turns on the fans. I mean, the fans aren't daft. The fans know what a good left-back looks like. And I'm not here to disparage Greg Taylor, but it's night and day between Tierney and Taylor. And I think Brendan has to accept and take ownership of his tactics against Rangers, the 2 games against Dortmund. I'm not blaming Taylor, but half the time he's out of position because I've got this kind of theory about inverted fullbacks. Don't quite know what that means, of inverted wingbacks, but I do think that he's feeling a wee bit of heat. I think Clement actually has his measure for the way he plays football. And I watched the game last night, Newcastle-Arsenal. They still play a long ball when it needs to be. We are so adverse to playing a long ball that Carter Vickers passed the ball into the back of his own net to drop 2 points in the Champions League. So I think Brendan having a go at fans needs to look a bit closer to his own kind of performance and his own tactics. I mean, that's what I think. I don't know what the panel feel about that. Maybe a bit harsh.
I have to say, right, because I'm not the expert here, so this is where I will defer to you guys, that I thought Celtic were much more direct this time under Brendan Rodgers than they were in his first spell. But it still doesn't seem to be cutting through for some people.
Well, it can depend on the players you have. There's no point in just lumping balls up front if you've got Kyogo up there. You know what I mean? He's a different type of player.
They do go long in behind sometimes, do they not?
They will play, but if somebody's playing a high line, they'll play balls in behind. So there is a little bit of a, mixing up a little bit going forward. Obviously, he brought Ida in as an option at times as well, which he's a little bit more direct. But every manager has their style. Some have a rigid philosophy, John, and some will actually stick to it. You know, Postecoglou, for instance, you hear him many times in recent interviews, absolutely nailing his philosophy to the ground, as if to say, I'm not budging at all, and getting a lot of criticism for it. So it can depend on who you are. I think Brendan Rodgers has moved a little bit. I think he has shifted a little bit. I think if you look at the games against Atalanta and Zagreb, I think Celtic didn't have their fullbacks bombing forward. Their midfield was certainly more restrained. They were more compact. They get people behind the ball. So I think he did tweak it a little bit without maybe saying too much about it. And also, if you look at the big picture, Celtic can win tonight and go 16 points. And this is the start of January, 16 points ahead of your greatest rival. So I think you maybe are being a wee bit harsh. Regarding the Tierney Taylor one, as I mentioned earlier on there, not just Brendan Rodgers has picked Greg Taylor. He's going to play 200 games. Other managers have picked him, so everyone sees that he is a more than competent fullback. Yeah, he might not bomb forward like Kieran Tierney. He's not maybe born and bred a Celtic fan like Kieran Tierney, but nevertheless, he's a different type of left back. And the one thing I will say, from Kieran Tierney, I'm a massive admirer, but he's had huge injury problems in the last couple of years. Yeah. Huge. So you can't just bank on, even if they do sign him playing 40, 50 games. It's just not going to happen.
This is more of a general point, Cammy, because I think this applies to every team, not just Celtic or Brendan Rodgers. I feel like at the moment, some fans maybe fall into the trap of, if it's a particular, way of playing, we only really reference the times when it doesn't work.
Yep.
Right. So take Greg Taylor. John's theory is that against this team and that team, Greg Taylor was out of position and that caused Celtic goals. For a start, wherever he is, he'll be where Brendan Rodgers told him to be.
Absolutely.
If he's in the pitch, that's why. In the pitch, where he gets the ball and chips it over the top up to Tawdry to create a vital win, it feels like the times where it doesn't, a lot of focus on the negatives. Cameron Carter-Vickers, so one time this season it was completely awful, they passed it back, but Celtic are about to potentially go 16 points clear because they have that level of control within games, except you're going to mention the one time that passing it at the back ended up in the back of the net. That would frustrate Brendan Rodgers, surely.
Absolutely, and again, I think when you look at the bigger picture is that Celtic go 16 points clear tonight if they win the game of football at Celtic Park, and they've got that success by playing this brand of football, week in, week out, controlling games, not looking troubled. Yes, there will be hiccups along the way. Individual errors will happen. I'm pretty sure that was a communication thing between Carter Vickers and the goalkeeper in that situation. That's going to happen. Listen, that happens throughout the pitch, but unfortunately it was at the back of the pitch, the ball goes in the back of the net. So yeah, I think you need to weigh up, look at the success you can get from the way Brendan Rodgers' team sets up and plays. And speaking about Greg Taylor, the way that he plays that inverted fullback, how many, as you say, Gordon, how many opportunities do Celtic create from that? Loads. That's part of their attacking threat, is playing that inverted fullback. And again, touching on the Greg Taylor and Tierney situation, I totally agree with Jim. Tierney, for me, is, yes, he's an absolute upgrade. He costs a lot more money than what Greg Taylor's going to cost, but also his injury record. That's where I think Celtic can't wish away Greg Taylor, because he's consistent. He's generally always fit and available, whereas they're hedging their bets on Kieran Tierney, who we know and hopefully doesn't go on and have bad injuries, but we know he has in his history. So yeah, I think it's a big risk just having him there as your own left back. You need somebody who can step in, especially when Celtic are playing these huge Champion League games.
How do you think the fans will react tonight, John, to the stuff that's been said in the last couple of days?
I think there's probably going to be a bit of a mixed bag. You know, they're entitled to their opinion, as is Brendan Rodgers, but it seems as if he's kind of, it feels to me as if he's now over this little
honeymoon period.
The bromance where he was kind of work himself back into the club because he left. As soon as Gerrard, and let's be honest, as soon as Gerrard beat him, he jumped in the car and headed down south. That's what it looks like to me. And the fans that are paying their money have got a right to feel a bit let down. But I think he now thinks he's past that stage. We're 16 points. Now let's be fair here. We could go 16 points ahead. But we've got one guy cost 11 million, another guy cost 6 million, another guy cost 4 million. That's only three players. I mean, where does he think he should be?
See if we were to give your team as little credit as you are, John, we'd get slaughtered for
John,
this.
John, can I ask you just a question? Are you a Celtic fan?
Yes.
You are a Celtic fan?
Thanks for enjoying it all, John.
So you don't think that Celtic should be signing these type of players, or do you just think the fact is that, you know, Celtic should be romping the league anyway?
I think that they should be doing well in the league, and I think that Rangers should be doing well in the league. I think Clermont is probably starting to make up a bit of ground, if I'm honest. I mean,
not really though, points wise though.
No, but he's lost all the points before Christmas. If you look at his last two games against Celtic,
he just drew points at the weekend. And on Boxing Day before that as well, the last two games.
The last two before that, yeah. They had obviously Motherwell with the drop points as well. So
2-0 down.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. We can't be too far away from team news, actually, at Celtic Park. So are you heading along tonight? Do give us a call. We will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Cammy Bell are here. Hugh Keevans has even texted in because he's delighted that we had John, the previous caller, on, because it makes Hugh sound cheery.
Brilliant, love it.
We've made Hugh sound like a ball of fire. So there we go. 0141 951 1025. We can't be far away, actually, from team news at Celtic Park. Unless, is it 8 o'clock? Is it quarter to eight?
I think
I always lose track for some reason. So yeah, we won't be far away if that is the case. Sean is next up. How are you, Sean?
I'm good. How are you doing, guys?
All good here. Sure. What's your take then tonight, Sean, on what type of night lies in wait at Celtic Park?
Well, hopefully another 3 points for Celtic. It's just in regards to guys, the last call, John and Jim, you asked if he was a Celtic fan. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't be blamed for thinking if he was or not. Brendan Rodgers has more or less delivered absolutely everything in both times. His previous time, and he's pretty much on course to deliver a double at least this season. We are looking awful like that we'll be in the next round of the Champions League, yet fans aren't happy. And I can't get my head around it.
What I'm fascinated about, Sean, though, as well, is that I now don't really know to what extent aren't fans happy. Because then I'm not, how much would we have heard of this had Brendan Rodgers not said what he had to say? I mean, I wasn't at Celtic Park at the weekend. I don't know if it was particularly grumpy. Do you think it is? Is it a wider issue? And where does that come from then? Is it those increased expectations? Are Celtic so far ahead that it actually becomes, people start looking for fault? Why are we having these discussions when the points gap looks so good?
Potentially. I mean, I kind of grew up watching Celtic in the 90s from me basically 1-0. You know, so I think there's this kind of like, fans are spoiled these days, especially like the younger generation. That's my opinion. But I think Brendan Rodgers is also, given the fact what he's delivered to the club, he's entitled to, you know, if he does have, you know, an opinion in regards to the fans, if they're moaning about a player or being patient about, you know, the way he's setting up, which is modern day football, then trust the players and don't moan about it, because let's face it, the proof's in the pudding. He's delivered pretty much everything.
See, just in an attempt, Sean, to kind of move this on from the discussions we had in the last two nights, what do you expect tonight then? What will the reaction be? Because it's just human nature. Some people might want to kind of double down, if you like, and say, oh, is that right? Well, I'll show you. Here's Kieran Tierney's name again. Or I don't know. What do you expect tonight?
I don't know. I think it could go, there probably will be a
banner.
Percentage of the, there'll be a banner, no doubt. Of course there will be. But there will probably be a portion of the selection of the crowd that will kind of, I don't know, maybe have the idea of who do you think you are kind of thing. You know, this idea that he jumped ship a few years ago. You know, I mean, personally, I mean, in regards to that, and Brendan Rodgers jumping ship, it's English Premiership, you know. It's a big opportunity for the guy, and he's came back and he's still doing the business. So, I don't know, I don't know, guys. It's just, it's one of those things that the club's in a good place, they're winning, and I think fans need to put it into perspective, basically.
Let's actually go and see what team he's picked tonight then as a starter. Andrew McLean has the answer.
Yeah, quite interesting team news actually, because Brendan Rodgers has gone for the exact same 11 that beat St Mirren 3-0 on Sunday. So Kasper Schmeichel continues in goal. The back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor, making his 200th Celtic appearance tonight. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Arne Engels and Luke McCowan, will be Nicholas Kuhn and Daizen Maeda either side of Adam Ida, who keeps his place up top. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Scales, Palma, Kyogo, Valle, Yang, Bernardo, Hatate and Ralston. I'll give you the Dundee United team shortly.
What he didn't say though is that Greg Taylor's up front and is captain tonight as well. Just to mix things up.
Play what he likes. You just do what you want.
I suppose all round it's going to be because Greg Taylor's now way more in the spotlight tonight than I'm sure he really wanted to be. You know, so
yeah, he seems quite an unassuming boy anyway. You know, he's not somebody really courts publicity that often, is he?
So like, because Brendan Rodgers was obviously well intentioned. He's obviously done it to try and look after him, Greg Taylor, support and protect. But now there's that focus tonight.
I had a spell at Kilmarnock with Greg, and he's a brilliant boy. He's a really nice boy, very respectful to everyone. So I can't wish him more than the best. I think Brendan Rodgers did it to try and protect his players. I think he almost challenged the crowd as well to protect his players, to say, look, you've got to get behind them, because ultimately these are the guys we're working with. These are guys that are going to bring you success this season. This is what we're working with, so get behind them. Again, we keep reiterating there could be 16 points clear, that the potential of progressing in the Champions League looks likely if they get the right results. So they're in such a good place. So I just find it a bit bizarre that the Celtic fans are so frustrated at this moment in time. I don't know if it's off the back of the Old Firm, but again, it was one performance from them. Rangers were really good in the day, Celtic were really poor, and the result reflected that.
This is not hugely important an issue, Jim, but you even wonder if they'll be that sort of ironic. You know, the first time the ball goes back the way, maybe they'll cheer just as a.
Or when Greg Taylor touches the ball for the first time.
It should be a relatively small issue, but because of what Brendan Rodgers is and how important he is, and the way he articulated, you know, it became headline news when he first said it, but he then elaborates at the press conference.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to back down on
it. It's headlines again, and it then becomes this big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can get both sides. I mean, I had a similar, obviously, I'm not the manager of Celtic in the huge, media interest that'll generate, but I remember when I was at Dundee, sadly late, Fabian Caballero, who's a terrific player, and was a big fan's favourite. But he came back late from pre-season and he wasn't in the best conditions or any sort of thing. So obviously we had to, you know, discipline him and get him fit and all these things. And then put him on the bench. But the fans kept singing. They used to sing, Hey, 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 Caballero, right? There was a song they sang. And they would sing it all the time, and it used to really frustrate me because I'm thinking, well, these other guys have turned up, mm-hmm. they've done the hard yards, they're working hard, they're busting their backsides off for the team, and the fans kept singing that. So the only thing I can say is that, you know, you're then trying to say, right, how do you word it mm-hmm. to try and say, listen, you know, I'm not wanting to slag someone else, I'm not wanting to criticise that person, but I want to try and get them behind the boys who are in the pitch. And I think that's the thing that Brendan Rodgers was trying to do. I think he was trying to say, listen, you know, I don't think there's an issue with trying to sing for Kieran Tierney. I don't have any issue with that. He's a top player, he's a Celtic fan, the fans want to see top players at Celtic Park. No issue with that. I think he's just trying to say, but Greg's here at the moment.
Yeah.
Kieran's not. Kieran's at Arsenal. Whether he comes to Celtic or not, who knows? But at this moment in time, Greg Taylor is a Celtic player, and get behind all the players who are currently sweating blood for the cause.
Thank you very much to Sean. Gary is on the other line from Motherwell. A similar question to you, Gary, to kind of update it, bring it up to tonight. How do you think what's been said by everyone in the last couple of days, how will that play out tonight, do you think?
Well, I'm hoping for the fans' point of view, like they do actually get behind what the manager said. Like, I'm similar to the previous caller. I can't understand why some fans are acting as if they're so entitled. And but the manager's done a wonderful job. The club's making unbelievable amount of money, good profit, doing well in the Champions League. Everything's great for Celtic at the moment. 13 points clear with a potential going 16. Like, it baffles me as well how some fans can question a manager like Brendan Rodgers caliber. Like, he's probably the biggest manager kind of name that Celtic could probably attract, and it's astonishing, to be honest.
He was asked yesterday, Cammy, I was at the press conference, whether he was surprised at the size of the reaction to his comments, and he said what every manager says. I've not seen them. I don't read that stuff. I don't listen. I think many of them probably do.
Yes.
But anyway, that's what he said, and you take it at face value. He clearly stands by the sentiment. I wonder how he does feel about, say he did know about the size of the reaction then. Because as Gary says, why are we having this big debate? Either way, no matter what side you're on, why is there even a debate on whether things are good, bad or indifferent at Celtic at a time when they could go 16 points? We know the answer is because the manager said it. So you wonder if he regrets that side of it, or does he still think it had to be said?
No, I think he firmly believes what he said is right mm-hmm. for him to go out and say it. As I say, I think he's an element of trying to protect his players that he's got at the club, that, as Jim says, yes, it's fine shouting Kieran Tierney's name, singing that, that's absolutely fine. And I don't think that will have bothered Brendan Rodgers. But it's the fact that the players that he's got just now, they're the guys that can influence what happens, what trophies they bring back this season to the club. So there's all these things that I think he's saying to the fans, in probably quite a direct way as well, the way that he went about his business. And he said, look, get behind these guys here. These are the guys that win your trophies. Yes, it might be great to have Kieran Tierney at the club, but that might be next season. So get behind these guys. Greg Taylor's a fantastic player, and they'll have a huge part to play between now and the end of the season of where Celtic get in the Champions League, what trophies they bring back to the club. So I genuinely don't think Brendan Rodgers will be too bothered about what he said. I think he'll absolutely know the reaction it's got, and I think he'll be interested to see what reactions there from the Celtic fans today. But as every Celtic fan, or majority of Celtic fans we've had on so far, I'm amazed at just the sort of frustration, because they're in such a good place at this moment in time.
Is it safe to assume, Gary, Greg Taylor will get a good reception? Because, I mean, he's not really done anything wrong, has he? I mean, I know people thought he stormed down the tunnel at the weekend, but I think Brendan Rodgers clarified he had a broken nose, or certainly a suspected broken nose. So he's kind of caught up in the middle of this, isn't he?
That's another one for me as well. Like, Greg Taylor seems to be the whipping boy for when results go wrong, and it's never been the case. When we talk about the Rangers game, there was a lot more players in the off days than Greg Taylor, but it's Greg Taylor that seems to constantly get the stick. I actually think he's a cracking new player. He saved the money Celtic spent on guys like Adamida, Arne Engel, big money. Greg Taylor's actually saved us a lot of money at that left back slot when Kieran Tierney left. He's done a great job. He's been consistent. He never proclaims to be a Kieran Tierney or an Andy Robertson, but he's actually a very good wee player, and I thought through the years he's done Celtic a great service. So the criticism I would like to see the fans get behind the guy because he deserves a lot more than that.
Thank you very much to Gary. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers then. Expects the home crowd will get behind the team. He knows it'll be tough given that Dundee United held them to that 0-0 draw just a few weeks ago.
Very good. You see where they sit in the league. They clearly are getting results and performances and doing very, very well. Made it very difficult for us up there. It was difficult conditions and everything else, but still we couldn't make the breakthrough that day. But I would like to think this will be a totally different game. Playing at home, availability of players, good performance at the weekend, and now look to back it up.
Of course, we will go back to Celtic Park and continue the build-up, but Philippe Clement spoken today as well. Rangers fans, it is not happening away from home. Why is that? You go to Dens tomorrow. We're going to hear from the Rangers manager after these.
Every day is payday.
A massive £200,000 will be paid out on Friday, and it could be you. It's your chance to win the biggest payday of your life, and we guarantee someone will win. We'll pay out the cash. You could be the next daily winner as well of £2,025 tomorrow. So, if that sounds good, and why wouldn't it, text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get 2-for-1 on the text entries, and the texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2.50 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Rules for the Rare Network competition are online. The lines close at 3pm on Friday for your chance to win the £200,000. But if you enter before 3pm tomorrow, you'll also be in the draw for an extra payday worth £2,025. Just answer your phone. It is that simple. So text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Jim Duffy are about to be joined by Stephen, who's a Rangers fan on the line. But let's quickly get the Dundee United team, because that wasn't quite out yet. Andrew McLean gave you the Celtic team. Here is what the visitors have up their sleeve.
Yeah, five changes from Jim Goodwin, quite significant ones as well. Sam Dalby, the top goal scorer in the league, is on the bench for this one, along with Strain, Stevenson, Holt and Thompson, who drop out the starting lineup. In come Graham, Trapanovski, Fotheringham, Middleton and Van der Sander. So it's Jack Walton in goal for them tonight. The back three, Emmanuel Adeboyega, Declan Gallagher and Ross Graham. It will be Glenn Middleton as the right wing back, Will Ferry as the left wing back, the four in midfield, Kai Fotheringham, Richard Odada, Vico Savelier and Christian Trapanovski. Jort van der Sander is the lone striker for them tonight. The substitutes, Richards, Strain, Stevenson, Dalby, Docherty, Thompson, Cleal Harding, Sturton and Meshack. Just a recap of that Celtic starting lineup. Casper Schmeichel in goal for them tonight. Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor across the back. Arnie Ingles, Callum McGregor and Luke McCowan in midfield. Nicholas Kuhn and Daizen Maeda either side of Adam Ida. The referee for this one at Celtic Park is Kevin Clancy, and the VAR is Stephen McLean.
Wow, very interesting team from Jim Goodwin. He's left out his top scorer, probably best player this season. Kevin Holt would probably be the second best player this season. He's got something very specific up his sleeve, or they need a rest. We'll find out. Let's go on to the lines again where Stephen is. How are you, Stephen?
Not bad, yourself?
Not bad. As a Rangers fan then, what's the latest? What's on your mind tonight?
To be honest, I'm kind of baffled at what the club have become this year. The fans particularly, how we can sit by with this manager and look at, you know, the odd good performance, the odd corner we've apparently turned every 6 weeks or so when we get a couple of good results. We bat ourselves to 3-0, but look at the three other results around that. I can't see how this guy's in a job right now. I can't believe the fans are accepting this. I go back to the summer, the nonsense that comes out his mouth when he says we have to sell to buy. That was clearly untrue, because we brought in under £1 million and we spent £13 million. That was a blatant lie. And how the board could award him for that with an extended contract when they should have sacked him in the spot is beyond me. From then on, we've just gone from bad to worse. We've got this manager who talks about listening to this sports science team. When we've got players like Agamani, before the Motherwell game when he was when he was rested, he played 900 minutes, which is equivalent to 10 games in half a season. But he needs rested. We need to win games of football at the end of the day. It's as simple as that. He talks about the squad value of Tottenham, the squad value of Celtic. Well, what's Kilmarnock's squad value? St Mirren, Aberdeen, Hearts, Motherwell, the list goes on and on. The guy's a disaster. And if we stick by this manager, I dread to think what the next couple of years are going to look like.
I think I know the answer to this, Stephen, but I'll go anyway. The performances against Celtic in the cup final and then the result against Celtic, maybe chuck in Spurs' performance. Did none of that stuff move the dial for you on the manager?
Nah, it made me angry, to be honest. Because how can we perform like that and we can't beat Motherwell, St Mirren, Hibs, Kilmarnock, and United, you know, blah, blah, blah. This guy's got a squad of players that, again, fans talk about, we've got to back him. We've got a squad that, even with a depleted defence, battered Celtic, right? So why do we need to back him and give this guy money? He can't beat the teams. We play 90% of our games against these other teams in the league and we can't beat them half the time. So if he can get a song out of us in the big games that he thinks are the be-all and end-all and that matter, but he forgets about all the other points that we're shipping in all the other games, it baffles me. And how are we, as a fan base, accepting this? I can't get my head around it.
Listen, I agree with a lot of what Stephen's actually saying, to be honest. I think when you're a Rangers or a Celtic manager, consistency of winning is key. Philippe Clement hasn't shown that enough. Yes, I agree. Stephen's probably hit the nail on the head that they've got players there that can win games of football. They've shown that, but they've not shown it consistently. They go, their away record is appalling. That result against Hibs at the weekend, they're 2-0 up. You should not drop points when you're 2-0 up in a game of football if you play at a Rangers Football Club. And that's just where they've dropped their levels a little bit and the acceptance is there. Philippe Clement, yes, he referenced the penalty. We can debate that all day. They then went 3-2 up. They then dropped points because they lose a late goal. For me, there's huge question marks over the manager, certainly from a personal point of view for me, because the consistency isn't there. I've not seen it since he's came to the club. You need to win games of football 99 times out of 100. When you're playing at this level, trying to challenge for the league against Celtic, you need to be winning week in, week out, and it normally comes down to the Old Firm games. And them games actually take care of themselves. They're the ones that the players are up for it. The quality will shine through on them days. But it's the away days at St Mirren. You go and win that game of football, you don't lose it. Rangers have won one in the last four. That's unacceptable. And that's where Rangers are at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Stephen has just very forthright views on it, and total respect to that. The only mitigating, situation I would give Philippe Clement is they've had an awful lot of injuries, you know, and certainly that hasn't helped in terms of getting, if you want to call it, players playing on a regular basis. I know what you're saying there about the sports science, and there's a lot of debate about that. Ultimately, the manager still has to make the call. So I agree that Rangers weren't in a position to the likes of leave out Raskin or leave out Ingemani because they weren't, they weren't getting enough consistency, as Cammy said. You know, I think you've got to take risks at times, and then if you're in a position of strength and you've got a real good run and your players are confident, you can maybe put one or two other players in. But at this moment in time, these are key players that I don't think Rangers can do without.
See the comment on the sports science picking the team. That's not true because the manager has the final say. The manager can absolutely overrule the sports scientist. He'll have conversations with the player and the player might say, look, I feel physically fine. But the sports science is saying, no, he's in his red zone. He's potentially going to get injured. But you have that conversation with the player. See if you need to win that game of football. You're putting your best team on the pitch. That's certainly my point of view.
Stephen, the injuries aren't clearing up and it's another away game after some poor away results. So Tavernier's not back, Balogun's not back, Suter's not back, Raskin's suspended. Maybe Dujon Sterling makes it, but is certainly a doubt having gone off. Just out of curiosity, who captains the team out of what's left tomorrow?
Doesn't matter, does it? To be honest. It's like, I know we have this debate about the manager and Tav and Raskin, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. the fact of the matter is the league's gone with just now. And I just want to, I know Jim's talking about the injuries that we've got. I just want to cast your mind back to when Postecoglou came to Celtic, right? Turmoil behind the scenes, the cheeky. A lot of our fans talk about all the board and all the stuff going on at the background, and he's that's not going for him and that not going for him. Postecoglou took over. Celtic's chief executive left the job after 3 months. He was the second choice to Eddie Howe. That dragged on for 6 months. He came in, he had to isolate, never had a full pre-season. He had to rebuild a squad against a team in Rangers that had won the league unbeaten the season before. Kyogo, Jota, Abada, they all had hamstring injuries and were out for 3 months at a time. You had to rely on Mikey Johnson's of the world, Stephen Welsh's, Ben Doak, who was 16 at the time. But he got a song at every player. He was a manager who got a group of players and took them to the next level, and they ran through brick walls for them. They should never have won the league, but they did. And that's the makings of a great manager. Phil Clement makes excuses after excuses after excuses. He's got the fans buying into it. And what more can I say? The guy's a disaster. So the question of captaincy, who cares?
You're right. I wasn't pretending it was the biggest burning issue in Scottish football. I was just curious because I'd seen a wee debate on social media, and there's not a lot left there, like I say. It was more of a curiosity.
No, I mean, obviously...
It won't keep me awake tonight.
Stephen's very frustrated by the manager. And again, you know, as Cammy said, you can understand that. I mean, team and supporters want to see progress. Whether it's slow progress, or accelerated progress, you still want to see the team moving forward. And Rangers have seemed to have taken, you know, one step forward, two steps back too often. The two games against Celtic recently, 6 goals, unlucky in the cup final and then winning comprehensively at Ibrox, I think has masked over a few things. But, you know, they have to go to places like Dens tomorrow night and win. And win, I think, when a wee bit cavalier, a wee bit of a style as well. No, just scrape and go over the line. I think they have to go up to these type of places and take the game with the scruff of the net and show fans that they are better than a club like this, which they should be with the resources they have, even taking into consideration the injuries they have.
Thank you, Stephen. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball and humiliate Cammy Bell or Jim Duffy in the process. If you give us a call before 7 o'clock, you could be the one stepping up to the plate. So let's do it. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy's here, so is Cammy Bell, and they want you to join them, so don't disappoint them. 01419511025 to get your thoughts over to the panel, and there is a lot happening. We are building up to kick off between Celtic and Dundee United, which was an interesting game in its own right because of the fact Celtic can go 16 points clear. Dundee United, one of the rare teams to halt Celtic in recent weeks, but the fire's just been lit under it as well with all this talk about trusting the Celtic team, trusting Brendan Rodgers. Is there disrespect towards Greg Taylor? You know all the stuff, you know all the background. So an interesting build up to that one. There are, speaking of interesting, some intriguing comments from Philippe Clement that we will bring you very soon, that I think you will get your teeth into, Rangers fans, because not only are we talking, of course, about the away form and going to Dens, but now this bigger picture kicks in. It's January. Are there funds there? Can the team be improved? All that sort of stuff. Motherwell and Kilmarnock fans, you meet tonight as well, so I'd love to hear from you, if you could, on the phones, and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. We had our first victory for the listeners of 2025 last season. David came on and was sensational.
Was he good?
He was really, really good. So you've got big shoes to fill, Bobby and Garthamlock. You fancy it?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Good, good on you. First time you've ever played, is it?
Yeah, first time.
Good stuff, because the vast majority of our contestants are debutants.
Yep.
But last night, I don't always ask, you know, just depends. And last night I didn't ask David, and then at the end he said, yeah, actually I've been on and beat Simon Donnelly before, and I got 10 out of 10 that night.
Oh, wow.
So he got like 5 out of, he got 5 in a row right last night, and then messed up the 6th, so we didn't take him for the 10. But he went, ah, don't worry, I've had 10 before.
Good standard, that.
Unbelievable. Bobby, if it's heads, you will take on Jim Duffy. If it's tails, you will take on Cammy Bell. Let's see how we go. And it is heads. It's Jim Duffy up against Bobby from Garth Armlock. So what we'll do here is give Jim something else in his ear, just so that he doesn't know what we are saying to it, Bobby. And I'm sure you know the drill, but just in case you're in any doubt, it's 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you'd rather pass and move on to the next question, that is absolutely fine, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Right, your 30 seconds then, going on the clock, and your time starts now. Who's the only team to beat Partick Thistle at Firhill in the league this season?
Dunfermline.
Jermaine Defoe joined Rangers in January of which year?
2015.
What club connects Stephen Thompson, John McGinn and John Sutton?
Dundee United.
Austin Trusty joined Celtic from which English team?
Crystal Palace.
Hearts midfielder Benny Beningame is from which country? Rangers defender Ben Davis is on loan to which English League One club?
Leeds.
Okay, so you broke up a wee bit. I wasn't sure if you wanted that repeated or you wanted it moved on. But anyway, let's bring back Jim. Can you hear us?
Yes.
30 seconds on the clock. You ready?
Yep.
Your time starts now. Who's the only team to beat Partick Thistle at Firhill in the league this season?
Dunfermline.
Jermaine Defoe joined Rangers in January of what year?
2010.
What club connects Stephen Thompson, John McGinn and John Sutton?
St Mirren.
Austin Trusty joined Celtic from which English team?
Pass.
Hearts midfielder Benny Beningame is from which country?
France.
Rangers defender Ben Davies is on loan to which English League One club?
Shrewsbury.
Okay. How do you think it went, Bobby?
Oh, I'm not so sure.
Not so sure. Well,
Bobby, I think it won. I think it's unfair.
No, you're all right.
Let's go through them. Let's go through. I have to say, Bobby, I had high hopes for you after question one, because you're a Rangers fan, is that right?
That's correct.
But to know, and I know it was only at the weekend, but you went straight in. You knew Dunfermline beat Partick Thistle at the weekend, so I had high hopes for you. It was 1-1 after the first question.
Right.
I have to say, I mean, I know that time frames can throw people off, but you're miles out, Jim Duffy. Right. It is 2019 for Jermaine Defoe.
Right, I say 2010.
I wish that was the way it worked, but it's still 1-1. The club that connects Stephen Thompson, John McGinn and John Sutton is St Mirren. 2-1 to Jim Duffy. Austin Trusty joined from Sheffield United. None of you got it. The Republic of the Congo is Benny Beningame's country. None of you got it. And Rangers defender Ben Davis is on loan at Birmingham. And none of you got it. So it wasn't the most entertaining match of all time. It was low scoring, but Bobby, I'm afraid you started well and then tailed off. Hard lines.
Just like my team.
Well, funny you say that. How are you feeling about your team at the moment?
No, this don't bring her. I was brought up when they were brilliant, but the last few years have been no big too good.
See, this, it's hard to ignore. We talk about it all the time because it keeps happening. Clearly, Bobby, there is a massive difference away from home to at home. Now, it figures that it should be harder. It should be slightly harder. But why? Why is there such a difference?
I don't know. He may ask Philip that.
Well, here's the thing. We did many times, and I asked him today. Now let's hear what he had to say, because to be fair, he doesn't reject the question. He understands why people are asking it. How could you not? It is 3 wins out of 10 away games this season. They've got like the same kind of home record as Celtic, so the difference is what happens on the road. But he says rather than looking at it that way, he feels that there are just different reasons for all of the individual away performances this season.
It's a normal thing that you guys ask that one, because it's true about points not won in away games. It's not story about one thing, it's story about a season also, different things. Like the Hibs game, I think the team played really well. And we scored three really good goals, so we had the domination. But you take two goals that are avoidable by winning the duels, and it's about duels, it's not about an organization, it's about duels. And you get a penalty against, where I see also a ref watch, for example, that people who played football all say this is not a penalty, like my feeling is about that. So that's also something to take in consideration, of course, about the end result. So, yeah, that's in a young team, things that they need to learn about, that's decision making and sticking to the plan and keep on going in that way.
I obviously understand that, because if you're Philippe Clement, you're saying, well, you know, when we drew away to Hearts on the 3rd of August, mm-hmm. it's not really got that much to do with drawing with Hibs on the 5th of January, you know, and it could be different players and different scenarios. But similarly, once you've got a sample size of 10 games in it, and it's only resulted in three wins, it's only natural people are going to put that in its own bracket, isn't it?
Well, that's why, as you said before, why Rangers are so far behind Celtic. 12 points from 10 away games is nowhere near good enough, and that's just ridiculous for a team that should be challenging for the title. And yes, I get what you're saying, that there would be different circumstances. There's different circumstances in every single game. So you can name home games that they win. Yes, they win with a different style, a different decision in that game. So, but again, for me, you look at, there's got to be a mentality thing now. I really do believe that, because they go 3-2 up at Hibs. He referenced the penalty so much after the games, he forgot to mention they actually went 3-2 up. And then they lose a late goal where I think it was 4 minutes left on the clock in the 90. I think it was 86 minute Hibs scored. That's a mentality thing. That's leadership on the pitch. For me, there should be guys in there. It's a corner kick as well, pulling everyone together, saying we've had a fantastic result against Celtic. Let's not concede from this corner and let's bring momentum up. Because if they'd got 3 points out of that game, the outlook would have been completely different from the fans. It would be a turning point for the club a little bit, because again, two positive results, a positive away result, and showing a bit of character as well. But I do think there's a mentality block there.
Jim, is there a theme that can join them all, even if Philippe Clement, you know, maybe it's even the opposition, that maybe do the opposition just don't have that fear factor anymore, can have a bit more of a go?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is elements where you're not as fearful. I mean, that's always been the case at home. You know, if you go to Ibrox, it's a much more daunting prospect. But when you're at home, you've got a little bit more belief. You feel as if, you know, you've got a bit more of a chance. And when you then look at maybe previous results, then that adds to that belief. If you're a manager or a player, you know, it's only natural you look and think, wait a minute, they're not that great away from home. We've got a chance here. So, you know, that gives you a little bit more belief and a bit more confidence going into the game. And as Cammy said, you know, Rangers scored 2 goals at Motherwell and 3 goals at Hibernian and picked up 2 points from those two games. You know, when you're a team like Rangers, if you're scoring that amount of goals, you should be seeing those type of games out. I know they were 2-0 down, come back to each. But, you know, you should be seeing those games out. And Philippe Clement's mentioned in the, you know, in previous things about, you know, checkbooks and finance, that stuff. Well, if that's the case, then Rangers should be winning these games mm-hmm. comprehensively mm-hmm. because their checkbook's a lot fatter than the clubs that they're playing against. So, I mentioned to one of the callers earlier on there about, you know, injuries and things like that. But I still think that with the squad Rangers have, they should be a lot better. And you reference Hearts away back in August, but ultimately, if you're still drawing matches away from home, then it shows that you haven't made enough progress in away matches.
Thanks to Bobby from Garthamlock, 01419511025. Let's hear a bit more from Philippe Clement speaking today, because he was asked about, you know, the kind of positives of the team and the starting 11, but maybe that depth isn't there. But he's given his take on where the squad strength sits and compared it to how Celtic see things at the moment.
Look at the weekend's arrivals in this city, how many players they changed towards the weekend before. And they spent 30 million in the summer by players who are not all the time in the starting 11, or by far not. So, yeah, it's an important part. We don't have the same checkbook in that way, so we need to work on that way to make this depth better with getting talents in. Every manager wants more. But I'm realistic. What is possible for the club, I will work really hard to get the best out of that. So that's for a lot of managers in the world like that. There are not many clubs where you can get a blanco checkbook to do whatever you want. It doesn't happen so much. I know what the situation of the club is. I know what the plan is. I know it's a long-term plan.
Yeah, well, it's interesting listening to him. Again, I just reflect back to recent games. He's talking about checkbooks and needing money to progress the club. For me, the players they've got at the club just now are good enough to go and win some of these games, are losing or drawing. They should be picking up more points. You look at the Celtic, the team v Celtic, am I right in saying it's the exact same team that faces Hibs, the starting lineup? So again, how can you go from one height of a performance against Celtic to then dropping off to where you are against Hibs? For me, that there's some sort of, as I say, there's a mentality block playing away from home, or there's a confidence thing there, but that's up to the manager to change that. The quality's there to go and... Rangers had enough quality in the pitch at Easter Road to go and win that game. They just didn't perform, and that's up to the manager to bring that out of the players.
And this is where Glasgow has its own rules, Jim, as well, because... And this, I've always got slight sympathy for anyone who comes into this mad part of the footballing world, because Philippe Clement will just think that's a perfectly normal comparison. They're competing with Celtic. Celtic have more money. Celtic can leave £11 million pounds on the bench and so on. But here, fans just don't want it, do they? They don't really want compared to.
Well, it's almost like rubbing it in their noses in it a little bit, you know, to say, well, our biggest rivals have got, you know, better players, better resources, and can rotate players and still win games, and we can't. But the thing is, you know, Rangers went to Motherwell and were 2-0 down and come back to East. You know, Motherwell don't have the same checkbook, as I mentioned, that Rangers have. So I think you've got to be careful. When you start referencing money and finance, then, you know, somebody like myself and other people then start saying, well, you know, in comparison to everyone else other than Celtic, Rangers financially are still, they're still buying players. When was the last time Motherwell paid money for a player? Even Hibernian. You know, Aberdeen are talking just now about paying.
I think you'll find we paid for Apostolos Stamatolopoulos. Yeah,
but there's not many, and if they are, they're very low fees and salaries and all these sort of things. So I think that you said you've just got to be a wee bit careful. I think Philippe Clement is, I agree with you. I think he's answering questions that if he was in Belgium or somewhere like that, no one would bat an eyelid at. But in Glasgow, and when you're chasing your biggest rivals who are a country mile ahead at this moment in time in terms of points, then I think you're giving a little bit more ammunition for people to come back to you.
Gary is on the line. What do you think, Gary?
Hi guys, hi Gordon, Jim and Cammy, happy new year to all of you.
Thank you, same to you, Gary.
Right, I don't know where to start with this one, because the more I listen to some of the ludicrous nonsense that comes out, I'm a bit worried about our own fan base as Rangers fans. You know, the simple matter of the fact is we ain't sacking this manager anytime soon, right? And I've not even saying that. I'm quite a fan of Philippe Clement, I must admit. He's had to do what neither Gerard, Michael Beale or Gio Van Bronckhorst had to do. He had to rip apart an experienced squad in the summer there with the purpose of reducing the wage bill from between 70 to 10 million pounds to make Rangers still a viable operation moving into this season. If you look at it in isolation, if you look back to last season, right? So last season, he won the League Cup, right, managed to win the first trophy for a wee while with Rangers, wins the League Cup, then gets the team into a position where it's up to them to win the league. It was in their hands. Now, I'm sorry, it wasn't Philippe Clement, because he changed nothing. It was the players on the park that lost that league last year. And we always look reference the Ross County game. It was the Motherwell game at Ibrox when we were 1-0 up, or we were 1-0 down, you buy one each. All over Motherwell and managed to lose the game. And then it snowballed to there. We then Ross County, then made the Dundee Mudbath debacle over about 40 million weeks. Sort of
pitch looks good for tomorrow night, Gary. Yeah, that's the main thing.
Apparently, there's grass there.
No, it's a perfect pitch now.
You then get to the Scottish Cup final, where, again, you could claim quite generously that Celtic got a great decision to chop off the Rangers' goal. I don't think Celtic would have came back to 1-0 down that day. We then go into this season. We start off with the debacle at Hampden Park, having to play some games. Big change of squad. And you would expect with the change of squad and a lot of younger players coming in that there would be a lack of consistency. And that's why we're so far behind Celtic. Celtic have built a squad over the last 5 years. They know exactly how to play. They've got a great style of play. And, you know, as a Rangers fan, I'll freely admit that. And finally, they're now showing that in European football for the benefit of everybody in Scottish football. But we then start talking about finances. And I really hate the way, you know, it's all about in Glasgow, you can't get away with this. I mean, Philippe Clement's a very intelligent man, but we seem to ridicule him at every opportunity, the way he talks. Finances is quite clearly this guy's. Celtic have got all the more money than Rangers. Rangers get more money than everybody else. So with that thought process, Celtic should be first and Rangers should be second. That's where we're at. And you know what? We're going on, we're talking guys here about Hibs and Motherwell. We should have lost the game at Hibs. And I'll be again about a refereeing decision, but we'll know, but that's been battered to death. But you know what, actually, Hibs and Motherwell both played better than Celtic played at Ibrox. Maybe we should give credit to the other teams sometimes that they defeat in spirit to come back Hibs three times to get a draw at home against Rangers. Sometimes it just works like that. You know, there's a makeshift defence here, a goalkeeper and four defenders that are flung into positions that they're no use to playing.
That wasn't. I think that wasn't a problem against Celtic though, yeah. Gary. That I think that's maybe where the frustration comes. Because you're right. How could you argue with that? You would never choose to get into a game with that. You know that back line. But is that not why fans were so disappointed in the Hibs performance? Because that just wasn't a problem against Celtic. That defence.
Thank you, Gordon. And I say to all my friends and all my work colleagues, see, going into the Celtic game, I always felt more confident because you know what? You're going up against a team that wants to play football. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same in Europe. That Rangers team, the way it's been devised, it's a very foreign continental style of play Rangers play. And they can cope with a team trying to play football against them. See when they go up against the likes of Motherwell, when the ball's punted up there, Sunderland punted up there, they cannot cope. And you know, the same with the Robin Popper's a decent football player. But my God, is they run up against some of these boys week in, week out that have been happening in Scottish football, and he can't go.
See your core point, Gary, because I think there's a lot of sensible stuff there, you know, about are Rangers ever really going to be ahead of Celtic at this point? Probably not. They've got like the second biggest budget and they're second, and that's where they are. I wonder though if you're being a bit too general there, because I think deep down, as much as you're right, we get caught up in this Glasgow bravado, you know, second is nowhere and all that sort of stuff. I think deep down, right, I think Rangers fans would have accepted maybe being second, but just closer than this. Is that not the issue?
Gordon, Celtic have lost one game in the two draws and won every other single game. So you're going to have to be in really, really good form to be near Celtic, right? You've got to realise, you know, Celtic are far ahead in points, but they've had an exceptional record this season. You know, they were almost heading, if they hadn't lost at Ibrox, you'd have thought they could get through the season.
Well, listen, I do get that, right, but we're talking about Rangers have won 3 of 10 away league games. So see, even if that 3, even if that 3 becomes 6 of 10, 5 of 10, it's not perfect, but all of a sudden the points gap looks a bit, well, doesn't look more respectable, it is more respectable. That's got to still be realistic for Rangers, even though you feel that this financial disparity compared to Celtic.
Yeah, you know, I'm not blaming it all on financial disparity. I just think, you know, we're flung together a new team at the start of the season. We've got young players coming in. We try some of them, they've been good. So Eggerman's been sensational. So there's been a lot of changing for this guy to try and find where is going to be the best team. But at the back of that, we've lost a lot of strength in defence. And could we argue that if Suter and, you know, Suter and Proper or Suter and Balogun with Tavernier at right back, would we have lost the points that we've lost in the recent away games? Maybe not. But, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Yeah. One guys and guys that, and I go back to what I said, you play against a team that plays football, that Rangers team will shine. They've shown it right through the European campaign in the Europa League, and they've shown it in the last two games against Celtic. But a team that comes and plays real football, they can cope with it.
No, listen, I do understand what you're saying. My issue is that they need to find a way to win in Scottish football, because if they want to challenge at the top of the league and want to win league titles, they need to go to St Mirren and win a game of football. It might not be pretty. Yes, the teams will play that low block and make it really difficult. Weather conditions in the winter's difficult, but Rangers need to find a way. They've always, in the past, found a way to win. Yes, I get that there is this financial difference between Celtic and Rangers, but I still feel as if Rangers should be going to St Mirren and winning games of football. They should be going to Motherwell and winning games of football. And I totally get your point that, yes, you need to give these teams credit for playing well in them games and making it difficult for Rangers. But Rangers, being at Rangers Football Club, is all about winning. You need to win games of football if you want to go and challenge for that league.
Forgive me, I didn't realise the time. We're very late. Thank you very much to Gary in East Kilbride, and we will take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
About 15 minutes from kickoff at Celtic Park for the visit of Dundee United. We're looking forward to that for various reasons. We've also got Kilmarnock Motherwell tonight. So come on, Mr. Kelly, what are you thinking? Another big one?
Yeah, a big one for Kelly. I think it's a big one for both teams, actually. Kilmarnock need to get some sort of consistency in their performances. And again, a real sore one. Ross County were very good value for their 1-0 victory at Rugby Park, but it's not as much a fortress as it was last season. Motherwell are going really well this season. And as I say to you off air, that again, I look at Motherwell, if they go and win at Rugby Park tonight, they're almost sort of 6 points clear of seven. Seventh with what, 10, 11 games until the split. So that's a huge statement for Motherwell. So it's a big game for both sides.
They are, because of that league is tight for a reason. That portion of the league is tight for a reason, because Kilmarnock have games where Aberdeen come to town and they batter them, although everybody does these days, I hear you saying. And then Ross County, who can never win away from home, have now won three in a row and come to. So it feels like, you know, Motherwell, I know there was the sending off, but did really well against Aberdeen and played well on the back of a really, really poor performance at Tynecastle. So every season these teams search for consistency. It just feels worse this season.
I think it's understandable that there's a bit of consistency lacking in the team, because, you know, they maybe rely on some key players, and, you know, you got one or two players. You know, we've heard the fans on tonight, obviously initially the Celtic fans, then the Rangers fans, thought about squads and strength and, you know, who they prefer to play, all these sort of things. But the likes of, Derek McInnes and Stuart Kettle don't always have the luxury. We're talking about sports science, and I say, listen, I'll rotate all these players. They don't have that luxury, so they have to rely on some key players. And if those players are missing, or, in Kilmarnock's point of view, if it's so many red cards, whatever the date, red cards,
seven or eight
in all competitions.
So, you know, that can make a huge impact in tight games, and that's something that in the second part of the season, Derek's got to rectify. I know there's been one or two contentious ones, but that is a lot of red cards in one half of the season.
And, you know, some big injuries. Motherwell are in a weird place because their injuries are actually clearing up, but at the same time, Lennon Miller, who's the best player, is out injured. Kelly have got real issues in attack.
Massive. Vassell's out.
Huge.
Kennedy's a massive miss. And he's a
Cameron
big player.
Plays for 3 minutes to take care of Vassell's place. Yep. So, teams tonight, McCrory in goal. Ah, this is almost certainly wrong. Let me try and jig it in my head. Joe Wright, Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dees, a back three for Kilmarnock. Fraser Murray and Corey and Daba, the wing backs. Brad Lyons, Liam Polworth, Kyle McGuinness. And they still do have Bobby Wales and Marley Watkins in attack, so both, you know, having decent seasons. As for Motherwell, Aston Oxborough in goal, a back three of Dan Casey, Liam Gordon, Kofi Balmer, Marvin Coletta, and Ewan Wilson, the wing backs. The kind of midfield two, Andy Halliday and Davor Drakovsky, Tony Watt and Tawanda Maswanisi is like the man of the moment. And they are Jack Vale, and supporting Tony Watt as well. So interesting lineups.
Jack Vale came on the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, I think. He looked good when he came on.
Again, they've got those legs with Manawisi and Jack Vale. You know, they can get in behind. Tony will just drop into those little pockets. He drifts into inside left, inside right. He's a talented player, difficult to pick up. And, you know, Motherwell have got a very, you know, set way of playing. They will miss Lennon Miller, there's no doubt about it, particularly set plays and things like that. But, you know, you would think on paper, Motherwell just look as if they have the edge in that one.
Marcin Owiese could be key, because I think when you look at the back three of Kilmarnock, they're not the fastest. Yes, they're good defenders, but again, getting them turned and getting them behind them, I think could be a real key tonight in that game.
I actually feel like, right, despite all that, and managers always want more, I feel like those squads look quite strong. I'm looking at the benches, right? So for Kilmarnock, still on the bench, and amongst all these injuries and stuff, is Danny Armstrong, the best player last season. Yep. Do we agree with that? David Watson, the young player of the year in Scotland last season. Bruce Anderson, who's the second top, third top scorer, top scoring Scotsman in the Premiership. Liam Donnelly, who plays a lot of games. Yeah. Rory McKenzie, experienced Kilmarnock. On the other bench, Stephen O'Donnell, you don't need me to tell you CV. Mm-hmm. Paul McGinn, his mother was club captain. Sam Nicholson, Shane Blaney, Moses Abiye, Callum Slattery's back from injury, and Motherwell's new signing Kai Andrews, who's come on loan from Coventry yesterday. So
he's only 18, isn't he?
Yeah. So
Kelly, I think when I look at Kilmarnock and why they're probably struck, Danny Armstrong's not hit the heights. Again, they've lost.
Then there's the contractual.
Yes, there's that thing that's going on. Again, David Watson's not had as much game time, probably not hit the heights that he hit last season. They've had injuries, as I say. Matty Kennedy's a huge loss to Kilmarnock. He's such a big player for them. He's been out for a number of weeks now. Kyle Vassell, again, just struggling to keep him on the pitch. So there has been a number of, and we speak about the red cards, so there's been a lot of circumstances of why they've not hit the heights of last season.
How do you see that one going tonight?
Well, as I mentioned, I think that firepower-wise, I think Motherwell have just got a little bit more of an edge there with the front guys and the midfield. I just think there's more goals. I think if Kilmarnock are going to win that tonight, I think they're going to win it 1-0. But I just think Motherwell have just got a wee edge at home there.
I think the problem for Kilmarnock, Cammy, is you'd be so used to basing this game, if there's not much between the sides, and let's be honest, there isn't, you would then always just defer to Kilmarnock's home form. And I think that probably does still exist, though, doesn't it? I'm maybe being swayed by the Ross County defeat, because prior to that, it was looking good. Hearts at home, Aberdeen at home, St Mirren at home.
It was the start of the season that where they struggled at home. They
and
lost.
How much of that was down to Europe as
So listen, there's been massive circumstances of why Killy aren't where they were last season. I do think they probably overachieved last season slightly as well. But again, I think they need to start making Rugby Park a much more a fortress. And I do believe teams, we spoke about Rangers before, but I believe teams going to Rugby Park now think they can get a result. Whereas last season, they were so strong at home last season that it was almost impossible to get points at Rugby Park. But now I think teams fancy this.
I think the big difference is Vassell and Watkins up front. If you're, you're talking about Danny Armstrong and that as well. But they used to play, maybe not as through the lines as you would hear saying. They would get up to Vassell, they would get into Watkins, and they were a really good partnership and, balanced off each other, down at Rugby Park, in the artificial surface. And I just think that teams, had a negative vibe almost turning up there. Whereas, as Cammy said, I don't think they've quite got it now. And that's the reason why I think Motherwell maybe just edge it tonight.
Another person that I forgot is Stuart Finlay's a big defender. He's been out for a long period, and he's a massive player for Kilmarnock. So you do forget about these players, but Stuart's a huge player for, and a big miss for them.
All right, let's leave that one there, because we're looking forward to kick off between Kilmarnock and Motherwell, but also for Dundee United's trip to Celtic Park. How poor is this? I forgot to give you your full time teaser.
Well, I wasn't sure whether
you two are obviously not that bothered.
Well, I wasn't sure with the new year you might be, kind of looking at the quality of the pundits and thinking, I'm not going to bother here.
Especially because it is tough as well. I'll leave it with you. Kieran in Airdrie says, name the last seven players to score in a Celtic Dundee United fixture. That's it. And we will go back to Celtic Park next. After the break.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards.
From anything.
Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Midweek games in the Scottish Premiership tonight and tomorrow. Let's go back to Celtic Park and build up to kick off with Andrew McLean ahead of Celtic against Dundee United.
Yeah, just waiting for their teams to make their way out the tunnel here at Celtic Park. I do think that a lot of the focus in tonight's game will be off the pitch as much as it is on the pitch after the last couple of days. Brendan Rodgers, we all know the story, unhappy with supporters groaning at some backwards passes against St Mirren on Sunday, unhappy at the singing of Kieran Tierney's name, saying it was disrespectful to Greg Taylor, who makes his 200th Celtic appearance tonight. So we'll wait and see whether there is a response from the Celtic support tonight, whether that's a positive reaction from them, whether it's a negative reaction from them, whether there is a reaction at all. But what they'll definitely be united in is the fact that they want another 3 points tonight. They want to extend that lead at the top of the table to 16 points and put even more pressure on Rangers and Philippe Clement, who go to Dens Park tomorrow night. Dundee United will certainly come here in high spirits despite losing at the weekend. They won 3 on the trot before that, and just before Christmas held Celtic at Tannadice. They've got the second best away record in the division behind Celtic, but a few changes from Jim Goodwin tonight means he's maybe got one eye on St Mirren this weekend, but it could well just be changes to try and keep Dundee United in this game in the early stages before having a go later on. The team's still not out yet, but I will give you those teams. No changes for Celtic coming into this one. The exact same side that beat St Mirren 3-0 on Sunday. Kasper Schmeichel in goal for them. Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor are the back line. Callum McGregor, Arne Engels and Luke McCowan, the midfield three. Nicholas Kuhn, Adam Eder and Daizen Maeda are the front three. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Scales, Palmer, Kyogo, Vai, Yang, Bernardo, Hitati and Ralston. Five changes for Dundee United coming into this one. Strain, Stevenson, Holt, Thompson and Dalby drop out. In come Graham, Trapanovski, Fotheringham, Middleton and Van der Sande. I think there's a couple of ways that Jim Goodwin could line up tonight, because we've seen him flip between a back five and a back four in the league this season. It could well be a back three of Emmanuel Adebayega, Declan Gallagher and Ross Graham, with Glenn Middleton as the right wing back, Will Ferry as the left wing back, then the four in midfield, Kai Fotheringham, Richard Odada, Vico Savelier and Christian Trapanovski. Jort van der Sande is the man leading the line, which means there is a place on the bench for Sam Dalby, the top goal scorer in the league. So you wonder whether he's maybe been rested tonight, or is it a case of he might be able to make an impact later on in this game. 10 goals this season he's got in the Premiership. Their substitutes in full: Richards, Strain, Stevenson, Dalby, Docherty, Thompson, Cleal Harding, Sturton and Meshack. The referee for this one at Celtic Park is Kevin Clancy and the VAR is Stephen McLean. It is a freezing cold night here at Celtic Park as the players make their way out the tunnel, about -2, but it could drop to around -5. But these players will be well used to playing in these conditions, a lot of them coming up and playing in Scotland, so it shouldn't be too much bother for them. Maybe a bit colder for us in the stands, but the Celtic fans, I'm sure, will be hoping that they'll get that warm from the pitch, from the players being able to play the football that they've seen for so much of this season. But we mentioned it earlier on, will there be that reaction if there are backwards passes early on in this game? Will there be that reaction if Celtic don't start this one quickly and don't make their way up the park and do end up dilly-dallying on the ball? It was something that supporters didn't like against St Mirren. And what sort of reaction will there be to Greg Taylor making his 200th Celtic appearance, and such a good servant he's been for the club, so many trophies he's won, he's been a mainstay in that side for so many years, but his contract is up at the end of this season, still to be decided. And with the fact that Kieran Tierney looks as if he could well be coming in the summer, a big, big fans favourite as well, will there be any reaction to him? Will it be a positive reaction? We will wait and see. The Celtic players just making their way into the huddle at the moment, the captains shaking hands, referee Kevin Clancy picking up the ball. We are moments away from kick-off at Celtic Park.
I see, you always run a minute or two late when the games aren't on TV. No one's in the same hurry. So we're not, we're going to be a couple of minutes late, but that's not the end of the world. Go on then, you two, give us your scoreline predictions for that one.
I'm going to go 3-0 Celtic.
Again, okay.
2-0 Celtic.
2-0. What about Kelly Motherwell?
I'm going to go 2-1 Motherwell.
1-1.
Okay. Even we didn't really touch on it when we read the teams earlier. Andrew McLean, something else to add for us, I think?
Yeah, just been announced in the stadium that there is a late change for Celtic, which you'd expect must be an injury. Nicholas Kuhn is now no longer starting this match. It's going to be Yang that comes in for him. That will be concerning, of course, for the Celtic supporters here and the Celtic supporters everywhere, because he has been their best player this season, hasn't he? When you look at his goals and assists, the impact he's had in so many big games. We'll wait and find out from Brendan Rodgers after the match what's happened to Nicholas Kuhn. He's not available now for this one tonight. Yang starting ahead of him, and Arne Engels kicks off this match.
That's a huge piece of news, because my guess would be, if you ask the Celtic fans who's the last player you want to drop out of that team tonight, it might be him. For I'm not going to argue about it, Kasper Schmeichel or whatever, but yeah, just given that, I don't want to be unfair, but the perceived drop off from Kuhn to Yang is probably bigger than you would find anywhere else. You know, if Ida dropped out, Kyogo would play. If Engels dropped out, Bernardo would play, Hitati, yeah, and, you know, and so on.
No, I know what you're saying. And again, listen, Andrew said it there. He's been the top player for Celtic this season. So you never want to see your top player dropping out through, potentially, it looks like it will be an injury. For Celtic fans, they'll be hoping they've caught it early enough and they're just not taking any chances, and nothing serious. But as you say, it probably is the one position there is a massive drop off. Mm-hmm. But again, is that because Kuhn's been so good this season?
Mm-hmm. And I can almost sense people saying, well, don't make excuses, that's what they're there for. But it also, it can't be that easy for Yang, given that he probably is well aware of some below par performances and how tough it is for a winger when you're always expected to go and create, yep, something. And he's or is it better, maybe you don't have time to think about it, you chuck straight
I think
in.
It's maybe better for him, just in the fact that he's not got too much time to think about it. But the for Celtic in particular, there's a relationship there between Alistair Johnson and Nicholas Kuhn. There's no doubt about that. When those two play together, there's a real relationship there. They, you know, they link up, they play really well. You know, they seem to know each other's game really well. They complement each other. Kuhn has been outstanding, both in assists and goal scoring. So yeah, that is. And I think if you're Jim Goodwin, you're delighted the top player so far for Celtic is not available. But I don't think Celtic can have any excuse tonight. They've still got more than enough quality. And I think if you look at Dundee United, they've set their stall out. They play three big centre halves. I think they'll put a five man in midfield. They'll make it very, very difficult for Celtic. They'll try and get as many bodies behind the ball as possible. The fact that he's left Sam Dalby on the bench, I think, says everything. I think from Jimmy, knows that he's not going to get that much possession. He doesn't want his top striker chasing shadows all night, so leave him for the weekend.
Celtic very much pressing early on. Dundee United not really had much of a touch yet, and a corner to Celtic. What about Gordon, who's on the line? How are you, Gordon?
I'm good tonight, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. As a Rangers fan, what's on your mind for us?
Yeah, I feel Clement's getting a bit, I'm not a fan of him, but I think he's getting a bit of a hard time. Everybody forgets that whole back line of Rangers is pretty much gone. He's not his goalkeeper, he's not his two main centre-halves, he's right back, and old Jeffrey's still there. And that makes a huge difference in terms of getting results on the park. Now, if you switch it to Celtic side of things, if you took Schmeichel out of that team, Carter Vickers, Trusty and Greg Taylor, for example, I think Celtic would struggle the same way. And people seem to forget that. And it's not that long ago Carter Vickers was out for a long-term injury and Celtic really struggled defence-wise to keep goals out. So I think he needs to be cut a wee bit of slack.
I mean, clearly it has an impact. The only counter would be those players haven't been missing for all of those away games. The Rangers have struggled. Yes, at the weekend.
No, listen, my take on it is, yes, I totally agree with Gordon. It affects when you're missing your better players, of course it does. But it's not just been this recent period where they've only had one win in four that's been the problem. The away form's been the whole season. We can't get away from it. It has been the whole season. You've had your top players available. Clement brought in Robin Proper. He's his player. So, again, yes, at this moment in time, I do understand it's difficult because they've got so many players missing, so many players playing out of position. But as I said, a reference before is they had the exact same team starting against Celtic, who were the league leaders as they took a starting away to Easter Road against Hibs. So, yeah, listen, you can break it down, you can look at it in different ways. But for me, they still had enough to go and win the game at Hibs.
Obviously, we don't know how it will play out, Gordon, but I do wonder if the January transfer window might be an example of the challenges Philippe Clement faces. You know, if Rangers can't really do any business or don't do much, Do you think that would sort of show that, you know, how difficult it is? Because obviously he'll want to strengthen the squad, won't he?
I would think so, yeah. Certainly, even in defence, you know. I mean, I watched the Hibs game at the weekend, and Leon King, who's supposed to be a centre-half, now used to be, I wasn't at any level. But the one thing you've got to do is you've got to go and attack that ball at the corner. He just jumped. He didn't even go and attack the ball. So it's simple things like that. I hope Rangers do bring in at least some central defence cover, because they definitely need it. I mean, okay, you can lose a midfielder, you can lose a winger, but I think if that back four's not right, then you're going to lose games. And as I said to you before, if you remember when Carter Vickers was out for Celtic for a few weeks, they really struggled.
Yeah, but what about Cammy's? What about Cammy's? Cammy's point though, that this defensive injury issue hasn't been for all of the away games. It's been for the last couple, or last one in particular, but their waveform's been poor all season.
That is true. I agree with you, but you can't argue that if Suter and Balogun's in there, they're going to ship the goals that they're shipping right now. You know, it's just not going to happen. And how Agamani feels after scoring a hat trick and three goals in the back door, I don't even know how that guy feels. You know, because he's done his bit. So I just think if they showed up the defence a little bit and tighten things up, we could do a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, again, Gordon's made some valid points here about injuries, and I'm always a bit sympathetic to the managers because they don't really get any slack when there's injuries. I mean, you see, as I mentioned, Postecoglou getting slaughtered down south, and he's had horrendous injuries, always backline out his goalkeeper, his fullbacks, similar to Rangers. So it does impact you, there's no question about that, and understand it over the course of the season, it's not just recently, but... Yeah, going forward, it's hard for Clement to just build a level of consistency when he's having to chop and change his backline every week.
Thank you to Gordon. Celtic have started on the front foot. No real chances yet. Lots of corners. No noticeable reaction from fans yet. So we wait and see. Killie had a big chance early on, but still goalless there. We've kind of skipped over the teaser, but who were the last seven players to score in a Celtic Dundee United game before tonight?
Cammy.
Go on. Kyogo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we think it's the Postecoglou kind of group, because I think the D&A were relegated after that. So it's we're going for Jota, Abada, Bernardo.
Nope.
We've went Stephen Fletcher, obviously,
for United. Impressive from you. You get three to get two Celtic, one United.
Jamie McGrath, did he?
No.
Aaron Conway?
No.
Dylan Levitt,
yes. Okay. What about another Ange winger, but not as notable as the ones you've mentioned?
Not a bad
one. He never really came to much. People thought he might, and he showed flashes.
Haksabanovic.
Yes. And the one you're missing, he was a fellow Aussie. Don't say Tom Rogic.
Moy.
Aaron Moy. Okay, whatever happens tonight, we will look back on it tomorrow. And then, of course, Rangers are in action at Dens tomorrow night as well. So much Scottish football to look forward to. Thank you for listening or watching. Don't forget, you can watch back the live stream on YouTube and other places. You can get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts generally. And we will speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.